Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. QT and Sign Guy with you as usual. No show notes to report as of yet. Hopefully very soon we'll have those. But I believe our guest has joined us. Sasquatch, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, thank you for being on the show today. We appreciate your time. And I believe it might be your first time with us, actually. So we'll give you the first-timer question. What got you into the business of pro wrestling?
It was the sight of the dead man, The Undertaker, while playing Ninja Turtles as a kid, honestly.
Now, the Ninja Turtles, not traditional sports entertainers, but there's been the occasional turtle pop-up on the independent scene, and sometimes you see turtle-inspired tights on wrestlers. What was it about kind of the Ninja Turtles and The Undertaker and those things that kind of gave you the inspiration?
It was the ability to watch, like, the Shredder, who was my favorite character, being able to just kind of, you know, be yourself and have a great time, you know, without any restrictions, which is what I love.
I'm not sure if you're aware, but in fact, in one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies of the 90s, the role of Super Shredder was in fact played by Kevin Nash.
Yes, I was aware. In fact, I read that, and it was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
So we're putting that in there. A unit. Sorry about that. I'm still at work getting business done.
No problem. Got to handle your business.
Yeah.
Now, you have been up here in the Pacific Northwest for the last several years, and one of your primary homes is WUW America, where you've competed since they basically rebranded from SCW.
Yeah.
What is it about WUW that you have made that your primary home promotion?
Hold on 1 second.
Oh, okay.
QT, would you like to hum something?
I could read from John Lydon's autobiography, No Irish, No Blacks, No Dogs.
Do you have anything, I don't know, let's say by Eleanor Brown?
No, I can't. I don't see that.
Come on.
It's the respect of my peers, bro.
Well, okay, he's back.
All right, go right ahead.
Hello?
Do we got Squatch back? Okay, I guess he's not totally back. QT, do you got that book handy?
Yes, I do. This is from page 259 from John Lydon's autobiography. I still think of Sid. The whole thing was awful for him. There's no point. He died, and that's the end of it. I wish he was around. but only the way he was originally. All that self-destruction was just too much. You watch someone deteriorate before your eyes in a space of a year, and that's it. They erase any good memories you have of them. Time after time, they get worse and worse and more offensive. Self-pity gets people into drugs. Sid was a lost little boy, utterly beyond help. And like all arrogant teenagers, he knew it all, and there's all, and that's all there was to it. And then Chrissy Hyde says,
"I'll be right back."
Okay. All right.
You there?
Yep.
All right. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. So the question was, what made you have WUW America as your primary home promotion here?
It was really, in all retrospect, it was the loyalty of the crew, of the locker room, the respect I got from my peers, and actually being given the opportunity to go travel around the world.
Now, you have traveled around the world with WUW. Of course, the promotion here in Washington is the American chapter, but there are affiliate groups all around the world. You've gotten chances to wrestle in several different countries, which a lot of independent wrestlers don't get the opportunity. What was it like when you were first being selected to go on these trips to wrestle overseas?
I really wasn't like, I don't feel like I was selected as opposed to just being given an opportunity.
Well, they still did put you on the card, so in a way they selected you. And I know you have done a fair number of overseas trips. What would you say has been the furthest trip that you've taken for pro wrestling?
The furthest trip I've ever taken has been by far Asia so far. And I'm looking to extend that to Europe next year. Hopefully I can get to Russia within the next few years, and also to Austria.
Now, Europe has a very different style of professional wrestling. Austria, Germany, England, France, they all have more of a technical mat-based style, although they do have guys that were big brawlers and big power guys like Otto Vons. Do you see the styles of Europe being something that is going to be a hard adjustment for you, or do you think you'll be able to make the adjustment once you get over there?
The best thing that I learned once I broke into the business was being able to adapt to any style anywhere. And when you're able to adapt to a different style of wrestling, you can go anywhere and do anything you want. And I'm glad I'm able to get down and do some shoot style wrestling, you know, with in Tokyo, you know, that's how I work in the Philippines. And if I were to work over, say, in England, that strong, stiff hitting style, which I love, honestly, I'd do great. No doubt about it.
Now, you, of course, have a style conducive with a big man in professional wrestling because you are a big man, especially on the independent circuit. You're one of the larger guys in our area. You throw a pretty massive chop. What would you say is the hardest chop you've ever hit anyone with so far?
Not going to lie, the hardest dude who ever hit me with a chop was Hot Hands Mendoza, not going to lie, and Von Hess, too. Those are the only two I've actually, like, maybe want to crawl in a ball and puke.
I'm glad you didn't. On the flip side of it, what's the hardest one that you've ever thrown on someone?
Von Hess, by far.
I can definitely see that. I think I've been in a few of those.
Yeah, you actually reffed one of ours where I left a handprint on him.
I definitely did. I remember that. Now, speaking of hard chops, they don't necessarily lead to injury, but injuries in pro wrestling is just the nature of the business. There's always going to be some type of injury if you're in the business for any length of time. It's just a matter of when and how serious. What's some of the injuries that you've had to overcome so far in your career?
1 second.
Chuchi, would you like to go on with your book?
Yes, I will. Okay, let's see. On the same page, Chrissy Hyde. The first time the Pretenders played in London, I was nervous because everyone I knew was at the gig. I was dying. I was in a bar around the back of the club in a little place called the Red.
All right, Squatch is back.
Oh, all right. The worst injury I've ever had was I shattered my right ankle.
I did my left ankle, and that one was a bugger because ankles are slow healers. What was it like being on the sidelines with an ankle like that?
It pissed me off.
I can definitely imagine that. Now, once you come back from the ankle, did you have to make any type of adjustments in order to be safe with the ankle? Did you have to wear any special boot or tape it differently or change your style at all?
Yeah, I actually had to stop bumping and work more of a big man style, and I had to use wear an ankle brace. You know, for support. It's just one of those things that, you know, once it's injured, you have to take care of it to make sure it heals properly.
Absolutely. One of the things that we have at WUW America is a lucha championship. They bring in lucha-based wrestlers fairly often to the shows there in Bremerton. I know that your style isn't necessarily lucha-based, but what do you think about the lucha style wrestlers? Do you like their matches in general? Do you like wrestling against those guys?
I love the whole lucha style. I love the culture about the whole lucha libre and the art aspect of it all. I'd love to work well with a luchador, actually, because the best matches is working with people that you haven't worked with before. So you always get something new and unexpected for the audience, which is good because the wrestling audience will get stale after they've seen the same move spot, you know, 1500 times.
Now we see, of course, a lot of lucha guys at WW America, guys like Coyote, Polaris Jr., guys like that. Is going after the Lucha Championship something you ever considered just to have that championship, or is it something that you kind of shy away from?
I shy away from it because I'm at the point where I don't really need to go after that title. And, you know, I'm just in a good spot right now. I just don't need that title. Could I have it? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not really interested in it.
Totally understandable. Like we've been saying, you're one of the bigger guys in our area as far as size goes. I know that you have wrestled other big men before, and I'm sure you have seen footage of a lot of big men in wrestling. Who would you say are some of the best big men in the industry in general right now?
Big men in general, I would Jeff Cobb, Keith from NXT, big guy. I love his style, the way he works. I love Cobb, the way he works. I've watched him work live for Defy many times. Those are the best two off the bat that I can think of off my head. But if you want to go taller and for a different company, I'll go Braun Strowman for a guy his size. But being able to move and do things that he does, it's great. You know, it's nice to see a guy who's close to 7 feet tall being able to pull out a drop kick here and there and just kind of catch, you know, people off guard.
Definitely. Well, we have a game on the show that we like to play. I think you'd be perfect for this. We call it Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some guys that you have come across, and the first word or two that pops into your head is the answer. Are you prepared for some word association?
Fire away.
Here we go. First name, Pops Ballard.
Greatest ref I've ever met in the wrestling industry, and he's a wonderful human being to be around all the time.
Miss Sarah.
Awesome personality, great person.
Bad Blood.
Bad Blood? He's a pretty cool guy. I haven't had much contact with him, but from the few times we have been around each other, it's been great.
Randy the Pimp Taylor.
Pimp is one of my greatest mentors in this business, and one of my dearest and closest friends as well. He's a wonderful, wonderful man, and the day he retired, I'm going to say this on the air on record, that I actually got choked up about it because he's my friend and I love him to death.
You and I both did. Next name, Kevin Sullivan.
Kevin Sullivan, one of the greatest minds next to Paul Heyman as far as character development and approach to working your craft and working your style. He's a great performer, a wonderful man, and I can't say enough about him.
Ron Von Hass.
He's my road wife, my best friend, and he's one of my greatest opponents in the ring, on the industry.
Mr. Sexy Pants Paul Preston.
He's a joy to work with in the ring. He's an absolute overall great entertainer. He gets the crowd, the psychology part, and he's a wonderful, wonderful human being as well.
Coyote.
Coyote is a hungry individual, and I've only seen a few of his things, but he's a great worker, and I love his style.
Sunny Days.
One of the hardest working women I've ever seen on the independent level, by far. Wonderful person, champion all the way around, and she's earned every bit of respect that she gets.
Final one, Bob Evans.
Bob Evans, let me get back to you on that one. Hold on.
Bob Evans requiring some thought, QT.
I hear that. Yes. He's very busy. I wonder where he works. Squash. Does he work in the forest?
I would presume.
Okay. Do you want me to read from John Lydon's autobiography?
Go ahead until he gets back.
Well, okay. Let me open up a page at random, and I'll just fire off, no matter what it is. This is exciting.
Oh, okay.
Just... Here we go. All right, the book is open. Here we go. This Paul Cook. The thing that came out of the High Wycombe gig was that some guy named Ron Watts saw us, and we got the residency at the 100 Club. He promoted the Lord Such gig and also promoted the 100 Club on Oxford Street. He liked the chaos of it all, and he thought the madness would be great. Ron Watts was an old mod. At this point, I'm going to ask you, Sign Guy, if you know what a mod is. A mod.
Mod? It's the name of a pizza pie place.
No, in British society in the 60s and 70s, the mod was a style or character, or a group of people that they went to war against the Teddy Boys. The mods were into motorcycles or Vespas, and the Teddy Boys were more of a punk type people that wore black leather. The clash between the mods and the Teddy Boys were pretty legendary. The Who sang about it. The Who.
I'm not sure who. I'm going to guess Blackfoot. Did I get it right?
Anyway, no.
Come on.
The mods and the Teddy Boys had a rumble at a place called Brighton by the Sea. That was one of their legendary rumbles. But a mod pretty much wore motor scooters. And they also were, I think, deep into English soccer clubs. Anyway, here Cook continues. Let me see. Ron Watts was an old mod. We reminded him of that scene, but much more severe. We ended up getting banned at the 100 Club because they stopped doing punk gigs altogether. There was too much violence that wasn't actually involved with us. Steve shattered a glass off a pillar and a girl got cut in the eye. The press made a big thing out of it. Now, at this time, Sign Guy, I'm going to ask you, Paul Cook, what did he play? What instrument did he play in the Sex Pistols?
I'm going to guess lead guitar.
No, Paul Cook was the drummer. Paul Cook. Steve Jones what's that?
What did he play?
He played the drums.
Okay.
Now, Steve Jones played the guitar, and Sid Vicious started out on bass, but he was replaced by Glenn Matlock was the original bass player. But he and Johnny Rotten didn't get along that well at all. So Glenn Matlock was kicked out and Sid Vicious replaced him on bass. My question is, have you seen the movie Sid and Nancy?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
All right.
You know what?
I'm back.
Oh, okay.
All right. He's back. The name was Bob Evans.
Bob Evans is one of the most gifted minds in the business. He's a wonderful worker, and he's an awesome coach. Like, I learned so much from him and Shane Taylor. And I actually, after my first trip from Japan, I got to work with him and Tim Hughes, and along with Shane Taylor. And I'm pretty sure you were there for that show. It was a great match, and best thing that Bob told me was to invest in something else, make yourself stand out, and that's where the trunks came from. And since then, I've been complimented very, very
rewardingly.
Well, speaking of your trunks, we know that wrestling gear can vary quite a bit person to person. There's a lot of styles out there, a lot of choices. Discounting your
yes.
own, who would you say in our area has the best wrestling gear?
Oh, man, that's tough. There's so many people that have great wrestling gear in our area. Oh, Sunny Days has the best for when it comes to women's style because she makes it herself. And that's great. When it comes to the guys, man, Caden Jaden, he's a wonderful kid, sharp mind, eager, hungry, and he comes up with some of the best designs for his gear. That I'm like, man, sometimes I wish I had done that, but with me being who I am, I don't need to. So again, I allude back to what I said earlier when I said pro wrestling allows you to have your own creative freedom and express yourself in your own way. And that's what I love about it.
Well, at this point, my co-host QT is standing by. I know he has questions. So I'm going to pass things to him.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Mr. Squash.
Hello.
Mr. Squash, COVID-19 has delayed many projects and lifestyles. Our Turnbuckle Turmoil weekly rankings are no exception. COVID-19 has, we have not published a Turnbuckle Turmoil weekly, Northwest weekly rankings for about 2.5 months now. But in just last night, the first ever Turnbuckle Turmoil COVID-19 rankings came out, and guess who was ranked number one? You were. Mike.
I was.
Yes, you.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I'm honored to get something like that.
Is this the first time that you can remember that you have been ranked number one in our rankings?
It is. This is the very first time I've been ranked one in anything pro wrestling related.
Wow. Well, both Sign Guy and myself have watched you at WUW, and we kind of tactically agreed that you should be considered for a number one ranking. You know, this entitles you to a fruit pie.
Oh, really? Is it cherry?
Yeah. Oh, I think we can make it cherry. I know past winners have been Ron Von Hess and Paul Preston. They've won it. They won the number one ranking. Yeah, that's very good. Okay, all right. Well, Squash, I saw your YouTube video entitled Sabroso Fest, April 12th, 2018. Goblin, Connor, and Tiny Tigger.
Sorry, I did my butt chewed out by ants for a hot minute.
Do you remember your wrestling match at Sabroso Fest?
They're only coming in small parts and not everything at once the first time. You know, so, yeah, that's what I've been dealing with. Well, you know, so I've been walking around with Andy's boot up my ass and be trapped in the weather for about next week and a half.
Could you repeat that again?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Squash, I saw your YouTube video into.
Yeah,
I think he's still on the job. Yes.
Are you there? Yes. Yes, sorry about that. What was the question?
Mr. Squash, I saw your YouTube video entitled Sabroso Fest, April 12, 2018, Goblin, Connor, and Tiny Tigley, Ron Von Hess, and yourself. And this match took place under very bright blue sky. My question is, seeing how you mostly keep to the semi-dark forest of the Pacific Northwest, what kind of sunscreen did you use?
I had to use about 10,000 radiant to stay, you know, my same color, actually. So it was good. It was actually, I didn't get burned too bad. So we're good.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Squash, the wrestler known as Chicken power slammed Paul Preston at the 3:27 mark of the match. As Paul lay on the mat, Chicken, with both hands widening his kilt, and he was preparing to come down on Paul in the hope of encompassing him with his kilt. If successful, Paul would have been very close to Chicken's reproductive rights that are only shielded with a fine cotton layer of Fruit of the Loom cotton, which I'm assuming he wore. At this point, how important was it that Paul avoided this undergarment close proximity, saving him lots of money on the anxiety drug Wellbutrin? Wellbutrin, the anxiety drug. How important was
it? It's super important, actually. Because I know how ranked that chicken's ass gets, so you know it's super important.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, Squash, sign guy earlier mentioned big men in wrestling. Were you a big fan of King Kong Bundy?
I was a fan of Bundy, but I was more drawn to guys like Big John Studd, Big Van Vader, Stan Hansen, Davey Boy Smith, Andre the Giant, Ultimate Warrior was, you know, even though he's like a 45 second to a minute match usually, but Warrior had some great matches with Rick Rude and Randy Savage. Not to mention his match with Hogan at WrestleMania 6 in Toronto.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Squash, getting back to that match, the Sabroso Fest, April 12, 2018, you finally got into the ring for only the second time in the match at the 10:07 mark of the match. The chicken in the red kilt managed to scoop you up onto his shoulder and hold you there for an impressive 3 seconds before slamming you to the mat. And just seconds later, the other chicken in the blue kilt took flight from the top rope. After he made his splash, he bailed from the ring, and the chicken in red came in and got the 3 count on you. My question is, have you wrestled the chicken tag team with Goblin since then?
I have not, actually.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. Well, Mr. Squash, how has your diet changed since COVID-19 hit? Are you fending off the virus with Jägermeister or Fireball whiskey?
Those are still delicacies that I like to have on a very rare occasion. You know, I still have it, but not as often as I used to. So, you know, my diet, you know, as far as nutrition goes, the diet part, it has changed immensely, and I've changed my physique for personal reasons that I need to do anyways, you know. But as far as the alcohol consumption, yes, I still drink my Jägermeister and my Fireball, but not as often as I used to.
Okay. All right. Well, it just so happens that I have two drinks involving Jägermeister. One is called Surfer on Acid, and one is called German Vacation. And I'm going to ask you which one you would prefer. Are you ready?
Far away.
Okay, Surfer on Acid is essentially a very easy drink. It requires just three ingredients: Jägermeister, coconut rum, and pineapple juice. Now, the German Vacation is, it has ginger in it, Jägermeister, a touch of lemon, and a healthy dose of Saccharides bitters, which I don't know what that is, but I believe the Saccharides bitters adds depth of flavors that are quite impressive. Which one would you prefer, German Vacation or Surfer on Acid?
I like my drinks hard and heavy, so I'll go with the German Vacation.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, how about the Widowmaker? This is Jägermeister mixed with vodka, coffee liqueur, and grenadine. Would you prefer that one?
Oh, yes. By all accounts, line it up, and I'll shoot it down.
In your opinion, how many Widowmakers could Ron Von Hess consume?
Maybe half of one, because he's not much of a drinker.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
if he had one, he'd be seven sheets to the wind.
Wow. Now, do you know where that seven sheets to the wind comes from, where that saying comes from?
I do not, honestly. It's something that my grandfather told me growing up, and it's always stuck with me.
I think it's an old sailing term used by Britain in World War I, or in the days of tall-masted ships. Yes. Tall-masted ships.
Okay.
Seven sheets into the wind. That's always good sailing term. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now, speaking of tall ships with wooden hulls and sailing masts and all that, are you aware of the legend of the Flying Dutchman?
Yes, Davy Jones.
Oh, okay. Well, the Flying Dutchman, the captain of the ship, was rumored to have sold his soul to the devil, and in exchange, he could make a record amount of speed at seas when the spice markets to Sumatra from Britain. It was a very long voyage, but if you delivered cargoes of spices to Sumatra at this time, I think it was the early 1800s, and you were the fastest, you could get the most money. Rumor has it that the captain made a deal with Beelzebub or the devil, and in return, the Flying Dutchman has to sail the seven seas forever. My question is, why isn't there a wrestling move called the Flying Dutchman?
I am actually not sure. It sounds like a great move to pull off, but you have to come up with something completely new to make it unique, to actually complement the name of it. So maybe it's something I can look into. You never know.
Oh, okay. But I'd pay big money if you came up with an all-original move on the indie scene called the Flying Dutchman, and once this COVID-19 lifts, the Flying Dutchman against the chicken in red, the red kilt. I'd pay big money for that.
Oh, well, that sounds wonderful, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, now, Squash, in your opinion, how much did Donald Trump's ring appearance with Stone Cold Steve Austin help him win the presidency? Do you believe Blue Collar America saw that, and that swung the election his way, his in-ring appearance?
No, not at all. I just think it was just a business angle from Vince McMahon to Donald Trump, a way to make more money, and that's really what it's about.
All right. In your opinion, do you believe if Hillary Clinton appeared in the ring on Monday Night Raw with Goldust, that this would have helped her in the election? Could that have helped Hillary?
But, no, not at all, but I think she could have taken a few pointers for as far as the fashion statement goes from Goldust.
Yeah, I tell you what, those pantsuits are pretty painful. They remind me of Marcy Darcy on Married with Children. Yes. Marcy Darcy. Jefferson's wife. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Squash, I'm going before I turn it back over to Sign Guy, I'm going to give you the recipe for Bed of Roses, a Jägermeister recipe. This is this drink mimics a classic sour. It's Jäger with a good amount of tart citrus and a hit of sweetness from grenadine. Well, that sounds so great, but that's Bed of Roses. Yes.
All right. That sounds wonderful, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, it's either Bed of Roses for you tonight or Surfer on Acid. Just one drink.
Bed of Roses.
All right. And I hope you enjoy this Bed of Roses with your number one Turnbuckle Turmoil rankings. And if you want to find this rankings, the first ever COVID-19 rankings, you can go to my Facebook page. Sign Guy will direct you to my Facebook page. These rankings are huge.
All righty. Sounds great. Thank you very much.
There's even an emergency insertion for a wrestler who I forgot to rank. An emergency insertion.
Sounds like I should be inserted.
All right, big guy. You have a cherry fruit pie coming your way. A cherry fruit
pie. That's right. I have a cherry fruit pie coming my way. That's right.
Oh, okay. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Squatch, one of the things that you have done that a lot of independent wrestlers have on their goal list in pro wrestling is go to Japan. It's become easier in the last few years for independent wrestlers to be able to wrestle in Japan than it has been in previous years. If there was someone thinking of trying to be booked on a show in Japan, what is some of the advice you would give someone as someone that has actually gone there and wrestled?
Absorb the culture, for one. Like, absorb the culture, take it all in, and learn. Train there in the dojos and learn their style. You know, become adaptable. And keep a positive attitude all the way around, because the minute they see any sign of sadness or lack of heart, shall I say, they won't train you or anything.
Now, you also have wrestled in the Philippines, which is somewhere not a lot of Americans have gone to wrestle in recent times. That's kind of opening up again for pro wrestling. What was your experience like in the Philippines?
Well, I actually did not go to the Philippines because of there's a volcano had erupted, so I stayed behind.
Okay.
Out of respect for the people in the Philippines, you know, and also for, you know, for my own safety, because, you know, they had just had that, you know, the volcano erupting, and I didn't know if I was going to be put in a situation to where I couldn't get back, you know, back to the mountains and go back to my cave. And, you know, but it turns out everything worked out fine and good. And me and the promoter talked, and I still have an open door to come out to the Philippines. So, you know, in retrospect of me not going, it still worked out for everybody that was involved.
Definitely, and hopefully you will be able to make that trip and fulfill the obligations there in the Philippines.
Yeah, I was actually pretty bummed I couldn't make it, you know, and I took it personally that I couldn't make it out there because I was letting down my tag partner and Super Beast, actually, you know. I earned Beast's respect, and you know, if once you lose his respect, it's no good, you know, because he's a great guy, and he's one of the most respected guys in a locker room, no matter where he's at. And he's one of the best human beings you'll ever see in your life. You know, he speaks his mind. He's very honest, and I can't, you know, thank him enough for the advice that he gave me for my personal life. So, you know, that's just, you know, I love Beast. He's awesome. Von Hess, I love him to death, even though I can choke him at times and pull his eyeballs out and shove him down his throat. But again, he's my brother. You know, we fight, we bicker, we bitch. But at the end of the day, we all love each other.
Now, I have always maintained that the wrestling world is a small place and you run into wrestlers in places you don't expect to run into wrestlers and come across people that you wouldn't necessarily expect to see them. As someone that travels a good bit, have you ever run into pro wrestlers you weren't expecting to see at the airport?
I bumped into Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns in Chicago one time. In my earlier years of traveling, I bumped into guys like Eddie Guerrero and La Parca, you know, through Dallas, you know. But again, I always looked at them as people and not as, oh my God, you're a pro wrestler, you're a superstar. I always looked at those wrestlers as men providing for their families. I never got the, oh my God, you're a pro wrestler, can I have your autograph? That was never my mentality ever.
Now, like I said, it is a small world.
Oh yeah.
Do you ever go to shows and there's someone there that you weren't expecting to be on that particular show that you worked with in a totally different part of the country, totally different promotion, and suddenly here they are, and you weren't even expecting it?
There's a few guys, but the one that comes to mind the most was I went and did a tryout for him in 2013. And he gave me the, you know, great feedback. And I was at a show in somewhere in Louisiana, and he just happened to be there. So, you know, it's all about, you know, passing knowledge to the next generation to keep the business going, and it's very important.
Definitely, for sure. Now, did Booker T have his little Segway gimmick that he likes to carry with him?
The only segue thing that I knew from Booker was his King Booker, or when he was with his brother Stevie Ray, Harlem Heat. You know, it was good. Good match, good fun.
Now, once shows start opening back up after we get out of the quarantine phase here, obviously, wrestling is going to be a little bit different than when we left it. What do you think you personally need to do in order to make sure that you are just as good, if not better, once we reopen compared to where we left off with wrestling?
I think the audience is going to be surprised with what I bring back.
and I've been kind of keep staying hush hush on social media when it comes to me, professionally and what I'm doing. So expect the unexpected, and just I want everybody to have a good time with what I'm going to be bringing back with me. After all this is over with, there's going to be a whole new different Swatch. You'll just wait. It's going to be a fantastic bloodbath.
One of the things that we had in the Northwest was there was a brief promotion called Sasquatch Pro Wrestling. They also ran Pablo Nita's in Bremerton, Washington, but they were their own separate company. How did Sasquatch not become the Sasquatch Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion? You'd think it'd be a natural fit.
I didn't mind. In fact, I found it quite entertaining, to be blunt. So I had fun that night. It was good. And, even though it wasn't, it didn't stay around, it was fun to be a part of, even if just for that one night. It was fun.
It definitely was. I got my revenge on Diafuli Debashi that night, as I recall it.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
We have a few minutes left on the show today, and I want to make sure you have ample time. If there's anything that you want to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything you might want, social medias, merchandise, their favorite book, anything you would like, floor is all yours.
Well, I have some new merch being made, and I will have a store on the Pro Wrestling Tees website. So that is in the works right now. Then I also have keychains being made right now. So you can be able to purchase those as well here in the near future. Lately with the whole COVID thing, I've been reading a lot of Stephen King books, and, I'm back on reading the book It, and forgot how much I loved it. So, and promotions, CPW is going to be doing a big show, a good show, once all this is done and over with. I know WAC is wanting to do something, and for sure WUW America is going to be doing something spectacular. Also, I could be wrong, but I hear that PWF could be doing a huge show after all this is done and over with. So that's pretty much what I know as far as shows popping up and wanting to entertain the independent wrestling audience. Just to ease the audience's mind. And to everybody out there who's come to watch me work locally or just see me out in the streets, thanks for your support, and look forward to more fun and brutal beatings from yours truly.
Well, Squatch, I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today. I appreciate you doing so. And hopefully it won't be too much longer. We're sharing a locker room together again.
Same here.
All right, fans, definitely once we get back and rolling, check out Squatch and go buy a ticket to see him do what he does. Moving upwards in his career, doing some great, great things. So definitely support him. Buy some merchandise when it comes out. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have Chris Brady joining us. Should be a great time with him. Everyone continue to be safe, and we will talk to you soon.
Oh, okay. All
right. All right, thank you for having me.
Could be the way you
Talking in your